This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Because you will always feel you are so afraid of and that he is going to punish you, and that he is going to basically damn you on the day of judgment, and in that case you feel always in despair. Too much fear is not acceptable also. You need fear and you need hope. On the other hand, too much hope is also not acceptable. And it is not good for your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you'll be on the other side, always saying, Allah is the most merciful, Allah is the forgiving, He'll forgive me, so I can do whatever I want, I can live the way I please, I can do whatever I want. Allah is the most merciful, Allah will take me to paradise eventually, inshallah. That is also not the right way to live. That's why the Muslim always lives between these two extremes. Fear of Allah, but at the same time, hope for His mercy. You have to be in the middle. And then what is the crown that you place on your head along with the love and the mercy on either the fear and hope for His mercy on either side? Is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you put these three constituents, when these three constituents become complete in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also inshallah will become complete. Fear of Allah on one side, hope for His mercy on the other, and crowning all aspects of your relationship is your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice, there's also the extreme whereby if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the only thing you experience is love and you don't experience fear, it's also not correct. And this is not the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived, and the Sahaba and those who followed them, they had all of these aspects. They loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of their heart. They feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of their heart. And they sought His mercy with all of their heart. No contradiction between these. Today what I want to discuss inshaAllah is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll not finish in one talk. It will have to be over several talks inshaAllah. My dear brothers and sisters, there are all kinds of love in this life. You love your family, you love your father, you love your mother, you love your children, you love your brothers and your sisters and your uncles. Maybe you love some friends, some very dear friends to you. You love them all. Inshallah, you love your brothers and sisters for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also your brethren in faith. All of this love is beautiful. This is all love that Islam recommends, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and that Allah commands. It is part of loving your family and your brethren in Islam and so on. All of this is part of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah commands you to love these people. Of course, we'll get into some of the details about how do we compare loving other people and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do they contradict each other and so on. We'll get to that inshallah. But there are all kinds of praiseworthy love, and there's also blameworthy love. Loving sins. There are people who love sins. May Allah forgive us. Loving what Allah hates. Loving whom Allah hates. This is all blameworthy love. But all of these different types of love exist in the world. And the most important, and the most blessed, and the most holy is loving the one whom hearts were created to love. And this is your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most glorious. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an aspect which the prophets, peace be upon them all, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, the tabi'in, all were very concerned about. They loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. They worked on their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes became so extreme, and they started to miss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take a person you love in your life, whoever it may be, and part with them for 5 full years. Will you not miss them? Will you not miss them with all your heart? Will you not love to see them? It should be the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you miss to see Allah? Maybe that aspect is not really there. never really thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. But we are supposed to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves you. Will you not love Him because He loves you at least? He loves you more than your own self. He's kinder to you than your own self. He's more merciful to you than your own self. And He wants good for you more than you want it for yourself. Will you not love Him for those qualities? For just the mere fact that He loves you. And He loves goodness for you. And He loves the best for you. And He wants to take you to paradise. And He wants you to be the best. And He wants you to be in the best situation. And in the best enjoyment and pleasure on the day of judgment, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Should we not love Him? My dear brothers and sisters, that's why, as we're saying, some of these pious generations, they would miss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, they want to see Him. They want to meet Him. They're not exactly wishing for death, right? But they would just love to see Allah. They want to meet the one they love. And we will all meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak to Him directly. Allahu Akbar. But I'm not a prophet, I'm not a messenger, I'm not an angel, yes. But Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us in the authentic hadith, every single one of you will speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. May Allah make that our best day and not our worst day, inshaAllah. My dear brothers and sisters, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an obligation. As we see from the Noble Qur'an, because many verses in the Qur'an mention this issue. And one of the important verses we'll recite here. Allah Most High says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. One of the cornerstone ayahs about love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other issues, but we'll only target the concept of loving Allah. Allah Most High says, say O Muhammad, if your fathers, in other words, say to the believers the following, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your relatives, wealth which you have obtained, commerce wherein you fear decline, and dwellings with which you are pleased, are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and jihad in His cause, then wait until Allah executes His command. And Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient. This is a very important standard. This verse is a standard, it's a gauge. It's a gauge by which we gauge our faith and our love. Notice what he said, if all of the prior things, all of them related to you in this worldly life, your family, your dwellings, your wealth and so on, if all of these things are more beloved to you than Allah, and His Messenger, and jihad in His way. Imam al-Bayhaqi says that this ayah shows that loving Allah, loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and striving for Allah, are all an obligation. This ayah shows that all of these things are an obligation. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have threatened. He said that these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and jihad, then wait until Allah executes His command. means you must make Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and jihad for the sake of Allah all more beloved to you than all of these worldly matters. These temporary issues. These are all temporary things, my dear brothers and sisters. This is a deceitful life. The real life is the life of the hereafter. Real faith is to make Allah and His Messenger of Allah and jihad more beloved to you than everything else. Did not Prophet Muhammad say, and that's with regards to loving Him, did not he say to Umar radiallahu anhu, O Umar, or he said the hadith, none of you will truly believe until he loves me, in other words, the Prophet more than his father and his parents and his children and all other people. So in other words, this is also evidence of the same thing that the ayah is mentioning. That we have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger of Allah and jihad in His way more than everything else. The first companions, the migrants, the muhajireen, the ones who immigrated to Medina, this was an important standard for them. Because for them, jihad in stake in this situation also meant hijrah. It meant migration. And many people, as you know, or some of them, did not migrate. They did not migrate to Medina. Why? Because all of these things were more precious to them. These worldly issues were more precious to them. If you want your love to be sincere, then you will sacrifice everything. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said in the other hadith, also concerning loving Him, and this is a separate topic that I spoke about before, loving the Messenger ﷺ. Now we're talking about loving Allah. But in this hadith also, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that there will be people who come after me. May Allah make us of those that He is talking about. There will be people who come after me who would have loved to see me, even if it meant sacrificing all of their family and their wealth. Another very simple gauge. If you are of the ones who truly love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you are given the option of sacrificing your family and your wealth or seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you judge yourself. This is a gauge by which we can gauge ourselves. Have I gotten to that level or not quite yet? Right? The other hadith which we will get to, when Prophet ﷺ said that whoever has these three qualities will realize the sweetness of faith. One of those important qualities, loving Allah and His Messenger ﷺ more than everything else in this world. Simple gauges that we can use for ourselves to see if we have gotten to that level, and if we have not reached that level, then we strive to reach that level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to make Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and jihad in His cause more beloved than all of these worldly things, family and dwellings and wealth and so on. And this is what Allah and the Sahaba did, and this is no easy matter. They left everything. They left their dwellings, they left their country. If I tell you right now, I mean, again, you know, always apply it to yourself. Brother, right now it is required for us to migrate to the certain country. Leave your family, leave your belongings, leave your house, leave and go. As we know in the case of Suhail al-Rumi, when he migrated, he had taken some of his belongings, and some of his wealth. And the pagans of Quraysh said, wait, where do you think you're going? You made your money here. You keep your money here and you go. Difficult equation. So either I go there empty-handed, empty-pocketed, or I stay. And what did he choose? He chose Allah and His Messenger. And he migrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, keep everything. They are more beloved to me than all of these temporary matters. Subhanallah. he left everything and he went. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about him and people who have done similarly, that those are people who bought the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the expense of their temporary belongings and temporary wealth. This is why, subhanAllah, sometimes we underestimate the level of sacrifice that the companions, Allah be pleased with them all, sacrificed when they migrated with Prophet Muhammad and when they accepted Islam, especially in the early period when it was not the world's strongest religion, when people were still being oppressed, when people were still being tortured, when they had to still hide their Islam. This was not some monetary transaction that they were going through. They were putting themselves at risk and in danger because they loved Allah and they loved the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why they risked all of that. And this is why just a few verses before this verse, Allah Most High said, "Ja'altum siqayat al-hajj wa imarat al-masjid al-haram." Have you made, because this is what some people have said, the reason for revelation for this ayah, and it is an authentic reason of revelation, is that some people were boasting that we used to feed and give water to those pilgrims who used to come to the Kaaba even before the advent of Islam, and we built al-masjid al-haram. They also contributed to the building of the house, okay, the Kaaba, even before the advent of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, have you made the providing of water for the pilgrim and the maintenance of al-Masjid al-Haram equal to the deeds of one who believes in Allah and the last day and strives in the cause of Allah? They are not equal in the sight of Allah. And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. These are beautiful deeds. Helping people. Helping other human beings. Giving water to the pilgrims. Maintaining al-Masjid al-Haram. And building and contributing to it. These are beautiful deeds. But they're not equal to belief in Allah and the last day. And jihad in His cause. And migration in His cause. They are not, right? They cannot be equal. These other deeds are the greatest of deeds. Believing in Allah and the last day and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and working for the last day and striving in His cause. Nothing equals that. And this is what we are supposed to make most beloved to us, more than every other temporary pleasure in this world. Allah Most High said, in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا. The last word is وُدًّا. Wood. Wood in Arabic means love. And of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wadud, the loving. The one who loves. He loves His creatures. He created His creatures. He loves what is best for them. He is Al-Wadud. And He said in this ayah that those who believe and do righteous good deeds, Allah Azza wa Jal will make for them wood. He will grant them wood. Love. He will love them. Not only will He love them, He will make other human beings love them. You want to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also by His creatures? Believe in Allah and do righteous good deeds. This is why Imam Mujahid said when he's explaining this ayah, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحَبِّبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ. That Allah will love him and He'll make that person beloved to others, to other creatures. Similarly, Imam Qatada also, when he's explaining this ayah, he says, مَا أَقْبَلَ عَبْدٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَقْبَلَ اللَّهُ بِقُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَيْهِ وَزَادَهُ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ. That any slave servant who strives seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to him with the heart of his slave servant. In other words, with the heart of his creature. So he will make that person beloved also to his creature, and he will add of his own love. So Allah will love you, and he will make you beloved to his creatures. So, and these are Quranic ayahs speaking about love. We are speaking about loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the other ayah, and it will take more time to talk about it, and we'll talk about it when you speak about the method. We will speak about more than 10 methods that we can use to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There we will talk about this ayah in more detail. But here let me just mention it quickly, because this is also mentioning the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ تَتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. You are claiming to love Allah, are you not? The Quran says, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, if you indeed love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or so you claim, then follow me. In other words, follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah will love you. So you are claiming to love Allah. This is another gauge by which you can gauge yourself. And we'll discuss it, inshallah. And that's why Abu Sulaiman al-Dahrani, a famous pious man, said that when people started claiming that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah as a test. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. In the authentic hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports the following. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah loves a slave servant, He will call on Gabriel, the chief of the angels. He'll call on Gabriel and say, verily I love so and so. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine, by Allah, you being mentioned by Allah to His beloved Jibreel by name, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Jibreel, O Jibreel, I love Muhammad so and so. O Jibreel, I love Khalid so and so. O Jibreel, I love Joseph so and so. Whatever your name is. Or O Jibreel, I love Muna so and so, or Huna so and so, or whatever your name is, brother or sister. Can you imagine Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioning you by name in the heavens to Jibreel alayhi salam? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. May Allah make us of those who are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who love by Allah and are also loved by Allah. He will say, the continuation of the hadith, I love so and so. You should also love him. He tells Jibreel to love him because Allah loves him. And then Jibreel also loves him. Then he makes an announcement in the heaven. Jibreel will make an announcement in the heaven, in the universe. Allah loves so and so. And you should also love him. And then the inhabitants of the heavens, the angels, will also love him. And then there is conferred honor upon him in the earth. So Allah will love him, Jibreel will love him, the inhabitants of the heavens, the angels will love him. And then, above all of that, you will also be loved by the inhabitants of the earth. You will be granted love here on this earth. Creatures, the creatures of Allah, the inhabitants of the earth, will also love you. And when Allah is angry with any slave servant, He calls Jibreel and says, I am angry with so and so. May Allah protect us. And you also be angry with him. And then Jibreel becomes angry and he makes an announcement amongst the inhabitants of the heavens. Verily Allah is angry with so and so. You should also be angry with him. And they also become angry with him. Then he becomes the object of wrath on the earth also. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from his wrath. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whom he loves. Amazing when you ponder over this hadith and you deliberate that, God willing, I hope, inshallah, I can be of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and mentions, inshallah, in the heavens. For this reason, Suhayl ibn Abi Salih reports, as in Sahih Muslim, he says, we were in Arafah. And then it happened that Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz was passing by. And he was the Amir of the Hajj. The people stood up in order to catch a glimpse of him. As you see many people doing with today's, some of today's leaders and presidents. Of course there is no comparison we're talking about. Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, whom many scholars consider the fifth rightly guided Khalifa. People stood up in order to catch a glimpse of him. I said to my father, Father, I believe that Allah loves Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. Serious claim. How can you make such a claim? He's doing it by deduction. So his father says, why is that? He said, it is because of the love in people's hearts for him. So if people love him, it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed his love in their hearts. Right? He said, it is because of the love in people's hearts for him. Thereupon he said, by the one who created your father, you heard Abu Hurairah narrating this hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he mentioned a hadith like the one transmitted on the authority of Jarir from Suhail, the previous hadith that we just mentioned. So based on the previous hadith, he deduced that as people love him so much, and obviously he's a righteous man, there are people who are loved by Allah that deserve that you spit in their face. That doesn't, they're not loved by Allah, they're loved by people. But because people themselves, love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, that's a different issue. This is a righteous man. This is a believer in the first place, and a righteous man. And people love him. So it seems that, inshaAllah, he is the object of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will only be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if Allah azza wa jal, if he also loves Allah. He loved Allah, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him. And this is why Abu Hurairah, in the authentic hadith, said, O Messenger of Allah, make dua, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he make me and my mother beloved to his believing slave servants. Look at this beautiful dua. He wants to be beloved to the righteous slave servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make us beloved to them, and make them beloved to us. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ answered his request, and he made dua, and the dua of Prophet ﷺ must be responded to. He said, Allahumma habbib 'abidak hadha wa ummihi ila 'ibadika al-mu'minin. O Allah, make this slave servant of yours and his mother beloved to your believing slave servant, and make them also beloved to them. The rest of the hadith says, thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create any believing slave servant who hears about Abu Hurairah or sees him or sees his mother except that he loves him. Subhanallah. A sign of faith. To love whom? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who loved the Prophet ﷺ and who is the number one narrator of a hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is similar, by the way, to the dua of Prophet Muhammad himself, when he used to say, Allahumma rzuqni hubbak, aw as'aluka hubbak, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, wa hubba amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbuk. Oh Allah, I ask you that you love me, I ask for your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk, and the love of the ones who love you. I want your awliya, the people who love you, to love me also. And the love of a deed which brings me closer to your love. Beautiful dua, and we'll discuss it also further later on. On the authority of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says, the reason I read about this hadith is because one may ask now. Now the shaitan starts to work. I that other people love me and love me for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and love that I am giving them a talk and benefiting them and so on. I like to hear something maybe praiseworthy. Maybe then I'm starting to do things out of riya. I'm not doing it for the sake of Allah sincerely. I'm doing it so that people can love me and praise me and talk about me. So the question becomes, is this a problem if people are talking nicely and well about someone they love? They loved Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. They wish to catch a glimpse of it. Necessarily, they were talking amongst themselves. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, mashallah, what a great man, what a great leader, what a righteous person, and so on and so forth. Does this harm the niyyah of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Not at all. As long as he is not doing it to be praised. He is not doing whatever he is doing to be praised by them. He is doing it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result was people started to love him. That doesn't harm his intention. This hadith clarifies this issue. Abu Dawud says that a man came to the Messenger of Allah and said, O Messenger of Allah, what do you say about a person who does righteous good deeds and people later praise him for it? Notice the wording, the very specific wording. He didn't say he's doing it for people to talk about it. He said he did a righteous good deed and later on people started praising him for it. Prophet ﷺ said, تِلْكَ عَاجِلُ بُشْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That is a, let's say, an early bushra, an early glad tidings for the believer. We're not talking about the intention here. The man's intention by doing the good deed is for Allah and is sincere. And it happened to be that people then praised him for it. Actually, this is something to be happy about. Not because you're doing it for people's praise. If you're doing it for people's praise, that's a different issue. How do you know you're doing it for people's praise? If you become angry that they do not praise you. If you are dissatisfied that no one came to you and praised you, or said something good about what you did, then you're doing it for them to praise you, that's not sincere. But if you could care less whether they spoke, they didn't speak, they praised, they didn't praise, you don't care. But when the praise came to you, eventually, you were happy with that. Because of that hadith, that's not a problem. Because Prophet Muhammad said, this is an early glad tidings for you, inshallah, that indeed Allah is happy with what you have done. And this is why Imam al-Nawawi, when explaining this hadith, he said that the scholar said that this is an early glad tidings, and it's an early bushra for the believer, and it is evidence, inshallah, of a glad tidings on the day of judgment. Inshallah, this means that it was accepted, hopefully, and that it will be accepted by Allah, and it will be in your scale of good deeds on the day of judgment, inshallah. And he says, it is evidence, inshallah, of Allah's pleasure with you and His love for you, and therefore He made that deed of yours beloved to His creation. Ibn Rajab also, speaking about this hadith and this concept, said, if he performed the deed sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who placed love of that deed and praise in the heart of the believers, and then he became happy because of that, right? That will not harm him or his intention. I think the point is clear, inshallah. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a big topic, my dear brothers and sisters. And there's still a lot to say. We still have to speak about the signs that Allah loves you. The signs that you love Allah, there are signs. There are many different signs. The methods, many different methods for us to seek the love of Allah. And some of the beautiful examples of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how they attain that love and how people therefore love them in return, inshaAllah we'll continue in this series at a later time, inshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that we all become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become beloved to His slave servants, and that He make us of those who love Him sincerely for Him and miss to see Him, and that inshaAllah the best day will be the day when we meet Him on the Day of Judgment, and that He not make it our worst day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our deeds, our charities, our fasting, our prayers, our i'tikaf, everything that you are doing, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Allah make us of those who win the great prize in Ramadan, and make us of those who won His mercy and the protection from hellfire. Jazakumullahu khayran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.